The top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, three, two, one.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right. We'll do exactly that. Checking in at
number five.
You know, this young lady has only been in Congress for a little over a month, and I'm already sick of her. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, AOC, as she's known, called on Congress to defund the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency at an emotional press conference today. The young New York Democrat called Trump's claim that he wanted more legal immigration a lie, pointing to the president's policies geared at reducing immigration and targeting immigrants.
The president said something. He said and spoke of the idea that he likes, quote unquote, legal immigration. But that is a lie. The president does not like any form of immigration. He has been cutting down and imposing restrictions on legal forms, on the diversity visa lottery, on family reunification, and so on. He's ending TPS. He's ending DACA protections for Dreamers. And in doing so, he is taking away the documented status of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of Americans.
Now, I actually don't disagree with her
on
what she just said there. I just don't like the fact that she wore a cape to the State of the Union address. And she's
that rubbed
become,
you the wrong way.
She has become the face of this, and she wants to defund ICE. That's a bad idea. That's not going to do anybody any good. There still have to be rules.
Some
there's
sort
still,
of enforcement.
A border. There has to be enforcement. There has to be customs. There's a lot of things that go on here. It's not as simple as that. Please don't. I would hate to see more politicians on either side fall into this vortex of misinformation. And they're doing it. Don't do that. Tell the truth. Now, you're not wrong about what you said there. Because those are that happens to be all true, that there's a pushback against this. I mean, the irony was he closed the door on basically, you know, chain migration right after he got Melania's parents in. Which was, I thought it's a little too close to true, and that was it's what happened.
Yeah.
Oh,
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, though, was also making news for her green plan today, her New Deal. And she says that every building in America should be retrofitted for new energy controls, and that we should envision a day very soon when there are no planes, cars, and rebuild every building.
Oh, what are we going to do with a plane? How am I going to get places?
You're on your bike, Ro. You love bikes.
My bike to California?
Yeah.
It's going to really ruin your world.
I know. It takes a while. But at least you won't be polluting the environment and creating all these toxic emissions.
See?
She's kind of exhausting.
She's
like Lisa from The Simpsons. She wants to like attack every single issue in America at the same time.
She is exhausting. I mean, she looks great in the cape, right?
She's
she
amazing.
Showed up in the cape, and you're like,
she got elected. It's incredible, you know?
It's pretty cool. But and she does seem of the people, more so than most of the people in Congress.
I don't believe any of those people are of the people.
Well,
I never believe any of that.
I think comparatively, if you look around Congress, this new group is more representational.
She is not a flatulent old man, which most of Congress is. I understand that.
But you're right. The proposals, it feels like she should probably just like sort of, I don't know, just kind of take her time with this stuff. You know, take her time.
When you look at like when Trump is speaking and all the people lined up in back of him, it looks like an ad for some sort of a drug. And there should be warnings of, you know, excessive flatulence and all the other things.
4 hours,
get.
See a doctor.
Right, exactly. do you have a not strong stream?
Oh.
If you do.
Oh, well.
All right, checking in at
number four.
During a debate hosted by Crane Chicago Business and WGN Radio last night, Toni Preckwinkle, or as Willie Wilson calls her, Toni Preckwinkle, found herself on the receiving end of a number of opponents' political shots, from her status as a leader of the Cook County Democratic Party establishment to her ties with embattled Alderman Ed Burke. She faces He faces attempted extortion charges amid an ongoing federal investigation. I don't know if you people heard about that. So this is Anna hosted this last night.
I did.
And here was some
fiery.
Of the action.
With due respect, Madam President, you took those actions only after the red hot glare of publicity was shown on you. And only after I called for you to do it. You took weeks to even acknowledge that you got the money. And then, frankly, you threw on Ann Burke under the bus. And then you said it was her,
Ann
not his husband.
Ann Burke has been a colleague.
But you
in our
know that a
justice
running
justice
for re-election
reform.
Cannot solicit money. And the invitation to that fundraiser was Chairman Burke.
All right, let's get Tony Perkins with the last word, and then we have to move on.
Say again.
You know, Ann Burke was an ally in our efforts to pursue criminal justice reform, and an invaluable ally, and offered to have a fundraiser at her house, and I accepted. As I said, I've returned all the money from the fundraiser, and I've taken the strongest stands against Ed Burke.
Yeah, it is. You know, it's fascinating because there is a lot of distancing going on. She did take the checks, and it did take her some time to give them back.
I don't know that she's has she fully given them back.
I don't think she has.
I think they were talking about the end of March or something.
Yeah, that she will give it back pretty much after the election was the last we heard from the Preckwinkle campaign. So it's just maybe
Willie should give her a loan to get the money back, and then you know.
It was interesting when we asked the question: if not you, who else would you vote for mayor on the panel? And several of the candidates made the point: look. Those who got in after Mayor Emanuel got out, they were trying to make the case that those are the people that are the most connected and that they shouldn't be in the race. And Lori Lightfoot, who we just heard from right there, was one of those. They're trying to connect those dots.
Bill Daley took some shots last night, too.
I'm the one candidate up here who knows how to navigate the ins and outs of getting legislation passed in Springfield more than anybody else. And that will be an important skill set to have in your next mayor. I've also, as I said earlier, managed the state through the worst fiscal crisis in its history and been able to take on a governor who is intent on hurting our finances, a governor that actually one of my candidates here, Mr. Daley, was the chairman of his transition committee. We don't need more of that. We need to actually focus on the problems of this city. And it's not like passing, you know, selling off assets like our parking meters, but actually putting the people of Chicago first.
At that point, Bill Daley looked at us, the moderators, and said, whoa, I got to get in on that. I got to respond to that because, obviously, he didn't like the sound of it. But he's been sort of, his answer was, look, in politics, you have to join forces with Rauner and say, look, we're going to put it all behind us, the BS, he called it, of the past, and just say, I'll be part of the new moving forward.
Right. He was the designated Democrat on the transition team. Wasn't like he jumped in as a Republican, he jumped in as a Democrat.
Right.
On
that's
that
right.
Team. When he made that point last night.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to talk more about Tony Preckwinkle.
Willie did say if he was going to vote for someone else for mayor, he would change his name in the Chicago way and vote for himself.
Broadcast from the United Center before the Hawks game tonight, brought to you by Citgo. Fill up at your locally owned station today. Checking in at
number 3. Jenny
got a gun. Oh, that's a nice story.
It is. It's nice to see a celebrity not doing an apology tour, but doing something really great.
Well, Steven Tyler has spent close to 40 years on an apology tour, so it's
true.
Nice of him to stop, take enough time.
Balance it out a little bit.
And he did a scarf cutting today, because he only wears scarves,
mm-hmm.
right? For Janie's House, which is in Bartlett, Tennessee. And what it is, a newly renovated house located on 82 acres of the Villages campus there. And it'll be home to 14 girls that at any time, with 24-hour support, it houses up to 26 to 30 girls each year. And what this is for young women who have faced abuse and neglect
right.
in their lives.
And if you listen to some of their stories, they're heartbreaking. And this really seems to be a way for them to get help. It seems like an amazing organization.
Yeah. So I want to congratulate Steven Tyler.
Yes.
One of the greatest rock stars of all times, by the way. One of the greatest frontmen. He's definitely a top 5 frontmen in the history of rock and roll.
Mm.
No question about it.
And he's doing good on the side.
Checking in at
number 2.
Last night, as her album DNA sat at number 1 in the Billboard album chart, Backstreet Boys returned to Las Vegas to start what will be the final series of dates in their larger-than-life residency at Planet Hollywood's Zappos Theater. AJ McLean credits the Vegas show for reinvigorating the group's career.
It really has reminded people of the true legacy of you know, Backstreet Boys. I feel like we've gained a lot of new fans, fans that might have been a little on the fence, and now are like, oh yeah, they had that song and then that song, and wow, these guys still look good, they still sound good, they're still dancing, and they're in their 40s.
Why does he sound like my grandfather when he's doing
that? He does sound old.
So the boys were getting back together. As all of us with the boyfriends, we're all going to be singing and we're going to be dancing. We look good.
We can still dance. We still can dance.
Who can dance? I can dance. I have a little problem with my hip.
Yeah. No,
but I've got it worked out.
They got some, you know, they got some things that can help that to make you still dance. They still have the same hairstyles too. Have you noticed?
If you want help with your hip, Dr. Berger in Chicago is excellent. We should go. While you're there, you should stop by Nanny's, maybe have some schmear. It's like when oh, all of a sudden he did. He became an old man out of nowhere.
Yeah. But they look very much the same as
that
they did, and the hair is the same
with Chance. Is excellent, mm-hmm. that Doritos commercial that they did. Now, but it's because Chance was excellent in it. And he did make them look a little... He made them look younger by association, I think is what was going on there.
Love the Backstreet Boys.
I don't know. I'm thinking maybe I should be voting for Trump. I don't know. All right. And finally...
Number one.
Candace Payne, a 34-year-old real estate developer from Auburn Gresham, who spearheaded an effort to get hotel rooms for more than 100 homeless people during Chicago's brutal cold snap last week, appeared on the Ellen DeGeneres Show.
Mm.
She said her boyfriend was once homeless and was able to book. She was able to book 30 rooms at the Amber Inn after many hotels turned them down, but she couldn't transport everybody to the rooms herself, so she posted on social media.
I'm in real estate, so I can use my passion for real estate to help house the homeless. So I'm buying multi-units and I'm rehabbing them. I'm buying distressed multi-units, rehabbing them, and I'm going to house the homeless, and hopefully, you know, others will jump on the bandwagon and help.
I decided during the break, I made a phone call and I called Walmart and I asked them to give you another $25,000
Wow.
Isn't that amazing? She gave her $50,000. Ellen handed it over to her, had seen her story and the good work she had done here during the frigid cold weather.
Right.
It's just beautiful.
Exactly.
All the Ellen shows, though, somebody tells the story and then she goes, okay, I made a phone call.
Just during the break. during the break.
That's what she does.
Yeah, but it is not what she did. Her producers make the phone call.
Oh, she can do that.
I made a phone call and everyone's getting Corvettes.
Yeah. That's all it takes with Ellen. She just snaps her fingers and the Corvettes
show up. You're getting a private jet.
Right. And she doesn't have to do the Oprah thing where she's telling you, you're getting a Corvette and you're getting a Corvette.
That's her version of, I made a phone call.
Yeah.
Now let's dance in the stands.
Yes.
She doesn't do that exaggerated way of saying it. She does. She does. Full of heart.
She moves really well for a 60-year-old.
She does.
Talk about dancing. She could dance with the Backstreet Boys.
Right. She moves better than the Backstreet Boys because they've got hip problems.
Turns out they're kind of old for 40-year-olds.
Also, I've got irregular heartbeat.
Yeah.
I made a phone call. Got your new heart.
My fire. Oh. The one.
Made a phone call, got you guys new hips.
Hold on a second here.
Doesn't sound the same. Too much yogurt today.
That's right. I've got a little bit of the runs.
Too much fiber.
There's bathroom break at the Backstreet Boys concert. It's hold on, I've got to go to the bathroom. It's number one, but it could still take me half an hour.
What are those? We'll be right back clocks. We'll be back in 30 minutes.
It's like I'm peeing in Morse code. All right.
Jeez.
Let's you know what? Just let's close this up.
The top five at five.